What is going on, Clipper Nation? It is me, Positive Chuck Mockler, solo hosting this Monday edition of Locked On Clips. William the Opinion Updike is still in Montana enjoying his brother's wedding. He'll be back for the Tuesday episode, I'm 99% sure. If you're new to the show, welcome. We come at you guys 5 days a week, sometimes more if something crazy happens. We are Daily Clippers Podcast. Come hang out. Come, you know, see what you like. Hope you like it. Today, we're going to have a recap of the Clippers' fantastic victory over the Utah Jazz. Yet another opponent held under 100 points. Just, it's nice to only have two digits in that other column. And then every Monday, we do what is known as the Freshies, where we kind of check in with the new guys, see what's going on, see how their progress is doing. And today we have a full Freshie on deck, I guess. We're going to check in with all of the new guys, rookies included. Some have performed better than others. Some are starting, which is interesting. But we're going to get into all that and coming up and more. Sorry, coming up right now. So the Jazz fell to the Clippers. Clippers put up 105. Jazz could only manage 94 points in this one. This one was ugly to begin with. Both teams shot 35% in the first half. I think the Clippers had two made threes by the time the second half started. So it was not the most confident, inspiring game. We put up 39 points in the first half to the Jazz's powerhouse 41. It was rough. It definitely felt like almost like a Sunday afternoon game or something like that. The game was at 6 as opposed to 7:30. But nonetheless, we pulled this one out thanks mostly in part due to a 40-point fourth quarter. We're going to get into that when I talk about what we liked to see, but that whole fourth quarter was absurd. Kawhi absolutely took over the fourth quarter. Just some quick stats for y'all. For the whole game, Kawhi had 30 points, 6 boards, and 3 assists. He was absolutely everywhere in the fourth. Trez, another big reason we won this game, was him in the fourth as well. He had 19 points and 8 boards. 6 of those boards were offensive. The Clippers as a whole absolutely pounded the offensive glass and the glass as a whole. The Clippers as a whole out-rebounded the Jazz 54-37. And in terms of offensive rebounds, we had 18, which is, I mean, pretty impressive. The hustle on the boards was insane. Lou rounded out the scoring with 17 points, 5 boards, and 3 assists. For the Jazz, Donovan Mitchell had 36 points. He was pretty effective. He shot 52%, which is incredible. 4 of 6 from behind the arc. He had himself a day. 36, 4, and 6. Bohan had 19 points. He struggled a little bit. 7 of 17. 4 turnovers. He was one of the fun parts of this game was his very first shot attempt, first shot of the game, absolutely destroyed by Kawhi at the rim. That was really fun to see. And then Rudy Gobert had 12 points and 14 boards, but got Zubats did his thing against Gobert. It was really fun to see. Zoo definitely had a great game, but this was a tough win. Doc said that we're kind of ticking wins off as we go, and this one, I mean, we got it. You know, this was a tough one to watch in the beginning. I mentioned it up top. Honestly, one of the big reasons why we were able to win this game, I think, was Zubats' first quarter play. Kawhi took over in the fourth quarter. He had 18 points. That was obviously another large reason why we won this game. But in the beginning, Zoo kind of kept us in this game. He was going toe-to-toe with Gobert. He was not backing down at all. He was 3 of 4 in the first. He absolutely crushed it. He had 8 points in the first. We scored 16 in that whole quarter. He had 5 boards. It was huge. That was so big to give us kind of that fighter's chance. Only putting up 16 in the first is terrible. Luckily, they only put up 20, which was nice. But this was a gritty game. This was not a pretty game from either team. The defense was good on both sides for sure, but the offense was not helping anyone out. 40 points in the fourth is kind of unbelievable against this Jazz team. It was absurd to see. Kawhi, like I mentioned, he had 18 in the fourth. The shooting chart in the fourth is pretty kind to the Clippers. Overall, the Clippers were... Zoo didn't play at all in the fourth, which was kind of interesting. I'm going to talk about his minutes cap in a second. It was odd. Clippers were 12 of 24 in the fourth. So not, you know, the, you know, 50% is great from the floor. Jazz were 6 of 13. So our defense was doing a fantastic job in the fourth. Kawhi and Trez in the fourth quarter were huge on both ends. LA Clippers film room at LA Clips film room, I believe, on Twitter. You definitely need to be following him if you're listening to this podcast. Pointed out a great defensive lineup that we had in the fourth. It was Beverly, Kawhi, Mo, Jamichael, and Trez, which was really great to see. The length is nuts on this lineup. It really disrupts passing lanes. It gets guys like 1 or 2 seconds off their usual beats. It was super effective. So that was really great to see. This team didn't give up. At one point, we were down 10 points, and Zubac said this in the post game. He just thought to himself, it's okay that we have, you know, we have Kawhi. And it was okay because we had Kawhi. He was completely dominant in the fourth quarter. He's playing at an MVP level. I think when Paul George comes back, if he can continue this, it's going to be absurd. I definitely think it's possible. Based on what we've seen so far, he's definitely making his, 5 of 11 in the fourth. He was 2 of 4 from 3. I don't know. He's taking over. He just decides when the game was over. It's kind of what it felt like tonight. One of the other things that I liked was it's nice to see Doc splitting up Lou and Trez. There were times in this game, I think it was early in the second, when we needed someone to be able to create a shot. We didn't really have it out there, and Doc didn't hesitate to put Lou out there without Trez being on the floor. And I was kind of assuming, and not in a bad way, that we would really lean heavily on the Lou-Trez pick and roll when Paul George was out, when Kawhi needed rest and stuff like that. But it hasn't been as relied on as heavily. We've done a great job of integrating other guys too. And Doc has, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure Lou or Kawhi is on the floor at all times, strictly for that shot-making need. but it was nice to see him go to it early when we needed to in this game against the Jazz, who are, they held us to 105 points. They are a good defensive team, so that was nice to see. There was a lot to like in this game. The rebounding as a whole was great. Patrick Beverley had himself a night on the boards. He had 9 boards tonight to go along with... he didn't shoot very well. to go along with 4 points and 3 assists, as well as 2 steals. So Bev had a pretty Bev-ass game. He was 0-5 from 3, which was tough to see. But yeah, tick this one off, as Doc would say. We got that win. It's good to see. There were some bad things. I'm going to get into these what went wrong really quick. Lack of distribution was a little tough to see, for sure. We had 15 assists, which was one more than them. But, 15 assists isn't what you want to see. We did get the win, which is good. But I'm going to be really excited when Paul George comes back. This isn't something I think that needs to have like a crazy fix right now or something like that. Because the fix is just getting Paul George back. I do think assist numbers go up. And this kind of goes into shooting, I guess. We shot 22% from 3. Unbelievable that we won a game in 2019 shooting 22% from 3. But assist numbers would go up, obviously, if we hit more than 7 of our 3-point shots. Zoo played fantastic. Like I said, he went 4 of 6, 9 boards, 11 points overall. Only played 18 minutes. I don't know if this is a bad thing or something that I don't like, but it's really interesting to see how Doc is not afraid to definitely pivot off of Zoo's minutes. If Trez is playing well, it's just Zoo doesn't even really get a chance to come back in and get those minutes back, which is interesting to see. Really hope Shamit is okay. That was something that was a little concerning. He was 4 of 12 tonight. He did hit 2 threes, which at one point were our only 2 threes of the game. So that was good, but just hope his wrist and everything is okay. He doesn't look himself. We didn't get Jamichael involved earlier in the game than I thought we would, considering how well he shot against them in that last matchup. He went 2 of 5 from 3, which wasn't that... You know, 40% is great. Sorry, 3 of 7 overall was not as good. 4 of 4 from the line, which is nice. He did have 12, but I don't know. We're kind of big greenheads on this podcast, so I guess it would have been nice to see him get involved earlier. Lou's defense was, you know, I know that's not what we pay Lou to do, but there were some things tonight where it was like just a little more effort or something like that. But all in all, we got the win. Shooting overall, not great, 39%. Coming up after this quick break, I'm going to get into a couple key takeaways. But first, I want to give a shout out to Manscaped. They are number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. All right, so the recap spilled over a little bit. Going to get into these key takeaways. One of my biggest takeaways from this game is Zoo, it seems like, has made that next step, quote-unquote, that one that I feel like people talked about wanting to see him make and all these improvements. He's showing it. It might be in limited minutes, but this is two games against Rudy Gobert where he has shown that he can definitely compete and sometimes play better than Gobert. If he keeps this defensive ability up, I mean, he looks strong out there. He's holding guys to a pretty low percentage when he's guarding them. It's fantastic to see. I hope it keeps going. Yeah, but kudos to Zoo on this one. Another key takeaway. I don't know what to expect defensively when this team, when Paul George gets back, but it is going to be fun to watch. Not for anyone else's team. It's really only going to be fun for our team, but oh man, when this all gets figured out, this is going to be a tough team to score on. I think Bev's going to set a career high in rebounds this year. He's been crazy active on the boards. It's been awesome to see. Doc said we just got to keep ticking off wins, and that's something that we continue to do. And I think these first 10 games, that's all we can focus on. We're 5-2. Worst we can go is 5-5 before Paul George gets back. That's not bad. Anything above 500 over this stretch, I said I was going to be happy with. I remain pleased, I guess. Another obvious takeaway, Kawhi is fantastic at basketball. I think we need to think about how lucky we are. God damn it, he is so good. There's only so many things you can say. He had an off shooting night. He was 9 of 26, which was a little tough. But in the end, that fourth quarter is why you have a guy like Kawhi on your team. Let's get into some the freshies. We're getting into some recaps. Sorry, not into the recaps. We're getting into some check-ins with all of the new guys on the team. We're going to start with the rookies. We're going to start with Terrence Mann, who had a bunch of hype in the preseason. The members of the Man Cave. I think that's what we settled on for a nickname for people who like Terrence Mann. Members of the Man Cave were hyped. He was being hyped very much by Clippers brass during the playbook. Jerry West had the quote, he was going to play a lot. And so far, we haven't seen a lot of Terrence Mann. We saw him in the preseason. We saw him show great vision and definitely some, physical tools that are absolutely there. His size, he knows how to play with his body. He's a huge guard. He's 6'7", but hasn't really, played too much with the first team. He's averaging 3.2 minutes. And I guess it's kind of surprising. His off-the-ball defense isn't where Doc wants it to be, I don't think. He's just kind of said that as a knock anytime Mann gets brought up. The shooting isn't as much of a threat as the Clippers, I think, want out there for someone who's going to run point. No one's really scared by his shooting. Not to say that it's not, that this won't be a thing, but right now it's just not working. His best game was the first matchup against the Jazz. He had 5 dimes in 10 minutes, which was cool. Like the tools are there, and they really seem to like him, but it's going to take some time. It's a tough rotation to break, especially if Kawhi is kind of treated as the main distributor and stuff like that. Not that Mann would get first-team minutes, but I just don't know what minutes he gets, especially with, Jerome seems to get minutes before him right now, which does upset some people, but that's, I mean, they just must like the experience, and I guess the plus defending. Fee, he's chilling. I don't see a lot of time for him to carve out. He's still learning how to play with his body and be confident. They've said the same thing about, they kind of said the same thing about Zoo last year. The time just isn't there if our bigs are playing as well as they're playing right now. Because if you look at the bigs rotation, it's like you got Zoo, who obviously he's not taking his spot. Trez is playing great, especially lately in the fourth quarter and when, you know, we need him to. Patterson, I think you got to count as a big. He's starting. Jermichael is the shooting five that Doc likes to talk about. That's tough minutes to crack. I don't think he's taking any of those minutes. Magruder's also getting minutes back immediately. So Fee's, you know, this is his soak it up year, which is totally fine. He's got a lot of stuff to learn. And yeah, let him redshirt a year. He'll figure it out. He can watch Zoo get better and stuff like that. I think that'll be fine. And then Derek Walton Jr. We are very much fans of Derek Walton Jr. on this podcast. Not a whole lot of minutes yet. Not a lot of playing time for him to get yet. Yeah, I think he's also in kind of a soak it up, hang out and learn stuff year. Which, you know, he was the last spot on the roster. I think it's good for him. Moving on to some guys who are established very much. So we can start with, other than Kawhi, there's also going to be a Kawhi check-in, but most of us know how he's doing. Patrick Patterson, starting forward Patrick Patterson for the Clippers. A surprise starter for some, I think. Most, I would say. No disrespect, but I think a lot of us are surprised that he is starting for the Clippers. But I will say it hasn't been that bad. You know, he hasn't outright cost us in either of the games that we've lost. He's not maybe the, like, most attractive sounding person to be in that starting lineup, I think is a lot of the reason maybe people don't like this start, but it's just kind of meh. You know, like the idea of having Jermichael in there sounds great with the shooting, and even Mo, if you're a big Mo head with his defense and whatnot, but it's interesting, you know? Like, it's just, I mean, he shot well from three, but it is kind of, you know, Doc's not really afraid to yank him, which is good. Like, that was kind of an issue last year. He's shooting 37% from three. So it's not that crazy, but I don't know. He's doing things right. He's got a plus four, plus minus right now. It's fine. It is just still kind of, it's just kind of funny he's starting. But it's being effective. He can take physical knocks that, you know, Kawhi might, doesn't really want to take. Kind of wish he'd shoot a little less. When he talked about in an interview how he was being told he should, like, let it fly, and it was like, well, maybe sometimes don't. I think that's also fine. Other new guy in the starting lineup, he is having himself a bit of a career. Kawhi Leonard, I mean, you know, I think every time we check in on Kawhi's progress, it's going to be fantastic. He's averaging 29. Oh, sorry, this is not really that updated. Sorry, he's at 29, 7, and 6. Having himself a year. Assist-wise, he is averaging pretty much double what he's ever averaged for a whole season. He did average 6.5. Oh, excuse me. Wow. He averaged 3.5, sorry, 1 year with the Spurs, and he's at 6.2 right now. I've said I think he's going to be able to average around 7 this year. I hope he does. He's putting up MVP numbers. He's doing MVP things, as evidenced. Things are going good with those two particular new guys. Coming back for this break, we're going to be checking in with a couple periphery guys. All right, so we're continuing this freshies check-in. I want to check in on Mo Harkless. This is a guy who I think most people want to see him kind of slid in the starting lineup instead of Patterson. I don't think his size is as attractive to Doc right now. And I don't know. I'm pro it too, but for some reason, It's just not working. It's just not in the cards right now. He always seems to be in the right place at the right time, which is great. Doc has talked about how Mo kind of plays older than his age. He's 26, which is still super young. And so Doc kind of says when he messes up, they have to remember that he's still kind of a young guy. I'm really excited to see... There was a play in the Jazz game on Sunday where Trez and Lou ran a pick and roll, and then Mo took the extra pass from Trez. He kind of cut in and got an easy bucket, and it was awesome to see. It was really exciting to see kind of a glimpse of what Mo can bring to the bench in his scoring, which is awesome. Not really bringing too many points to the table right now. He's averaging 6, which isn't bad, but, you know, I'm not mad at it. He's been fantastic, kind of like that Jamichael Green mold of being in the right place at the right time. Magruder, very briefly, he is back from his injury, which is good to see. But, yeah, seems to be kind of already locked in that second unit. I'm not really sure. When PG comes back, I feel like the main bench is going to be Lou, Sham, Magruder, Jamichael, and Trez. And maybe Mo instead of Magruder, but I don't know if Patterson moves down to the second lineup, you know what I mean, and takes any one of those guys' minutes. I hope that doesn't happen. But no, Magruder, he's shaking the rust off right now. Not shooting that well. but, you know, he was hurt. He looks like he's just getting the game back underneath his feet in terms of speed. Doc has mentioned his lungs being an issue. But, yeah, he's coming back. All in all, it really feels like every new signing has, I guess, unsurprisingly at this point, been able to fill their role the right way. The Clippers have been fantastic at finding guys who fit the vibe of the team. That hasn't been an issue at all. And as pressers, you know, sometimes people ask Doc what's the biggest thing to work on, and he'll always mention that the biggest thing they don't have to work on is that team chemistry and stuff like that, which is fantastic to hear, especially when we do have some continuity, but they're, you know, we brought in some new guys, brought in some big pieces. It's going to be okay chemistry wise. It's nice that it got started off so early in the offseason with the team bonding and whatnot, so we can carry that over. But all in all, you know, excited to see everyone doing well. We got a kind of an update from Doc on the Paul George situation. He thinks his basketball activities are going to be ramped up to 5-on-5 in the next week or so, which is, you just love to hear that. That was a great pregame note to hear. I know that overall this team is going to be crazy when Paul George comes back. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be terrible to play against. It's going to be a methodical machine slowly chewing up all teams in front of it. We know that that's going to happen at some point. But could there maybe be a slow start when Paul George comes back? Could we maybe have like a, you know, they say that whatever, super teams don't start well. This will be the first time when the team is fully assembled once Paul George comes back. I wonder if we might see a tiny bit of a dip or something like that in performance. I don't think it's going to be huge, obviously. It is funny. It feels like sometimes the team, you know, we're 5-2, and it feels like we've played not that well. Like, for what this team can do, I think a lot of us are kind of like, I'm really waiting for it to really hit its stride or something like that, which is so... It's just funny to think about that because we're playing great defensive basketball. Yes, we've gotten by on some bad shooting nights from the other teams for sure, but you do need those things. But we're causing problems. I think I saw Brian Cullen put this stat out there. I think I saw we're 3rd in deflections, which I think we're going to remain there for the rest of the year. And the communication on defense does need to get better in terms of switching and stuff. We get a little indecisive on that, but there's still so much good to be done, and it's just awesome to watch it start to gel before Paul George. I don't think we'll have that big of a hiccup. I think maybe things won't go as smoothly right off the bat as we want, especially if things are, you know, say we get out of this 10-game stretch. I don't know. 7-3. That'd be nice. You know, adding that new addition could maybe see... There just could be some growing pains, but right now, it looks like as if our growing pains are going to involve things like, you know, we've had two games now where we've shot around 20% from three, and we still won. So, if this is what the growing pains are going to be like, let's bring that on. I think that about wraps it up for me, you guys. Hope if you watched the game, you had a fun time. Anytime you're going to a game, let one of us know. Get at Will Updike on Twitter, at Charles Mockler, or at Locked On Clips. If you're new to the pod, thanks for listening. Usually there's another co-host. Maybe go back and listen to some older episodes. We usually have a fun time. Give us a shout out on iTunes. We'll read your review if it's funny. It could be a mean one. It could be a 5 stars. You know, it's all good. Thank you for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler, and we will have an episode for you guys on Tuesday.